Welcome to the Bless Our Mess podcast, dedicated to strengthening marriages, families, and mental health. Taylor is a licensed therapist that brings his life's work and experiences to these crucial conversations. Life has its way of getting messy, so remember to join us, and together we can bless our mess. Welcome back to yet another Therapy Thursday. I hope your day is going great, that it's a wonderful day, and that you're having a blessed day. I'm hoping that it's full of positivity and that your outlook on life is great. You know, and obviously that's the whole reason why we do these episodes, is to help push us closer to just fully enjoying life despite the ups and the downs. And part of that is being able to deal with toxic people, or at least manage it, but more importantly, manage ourselves, because we truly are the only thing that is in our sphere of control, right? Toxic people aren't, but how we manage ourselves and how we approach them definitely is in our control. Because dealing with toxic people is very challenging, extremely challenging, because their negativity and oftentimes destructive behaviors, right, they can really drain our energy. And sometimes that leaves us feeling quite helpless, you know, like, geez, I don't know what to do. Anytime around them, I'm not feeling good, you know, or that they quickly drain my energy. And, you know, we can't change what we don't acknowledge. So first off is recognizing the people that are in your life that do that. I was working with a client who has a certain friend group, and she started to notice that, you know, the friend group thread was actually quite negative. And she came to the realization of, like, maybe I need to start distancing myself. You know, I just won't be as engaged in the friend feed, and I will just, you know, focus on developing healthy friendships, you know. And so the first step we need to really do in all of this is start to recognize, you know, the toxic or negative people. And obviously that's going to be to varying degrees. You know, it's not like they're toxic 100% of the time. Maybe it's just they're toxic over certain subjects or what have you. But regardless, dealing with toxic and negative people is draining mentally and emotionally. Worth reiterating here, because toxic individuals, they just seem to thrive on negativity, and they tend to complain insistently. So in order to protect ourselves, it's crucial to develop the ability to set boundaries and start to distance ourselves from their toxicity, from their toxic conversations. And we're able to do that is, let's say they start complaining about things that are, and they're just constantly negative about it. That's where you can express some empathy and understanding of, like, geez, wow, that sounds quite difficult. But the key thing to do here is to then follow that up with, so what do you think you'll do about that? You know, or what do you think you'll do about that situation? Or what do you think you'll do about this difficulty that you're facing, right? And you do that enough times, that will set the boundary. You don't have to come out and be like abrasive and be like, you know what, you're so toxic, I don't want you talking about negative things around me, right? Like, we don't need to approach it that way, because it will just then get their toxicity and negativity focused on you rather than on something else. And we don't want that. So it's okay to express the empathy and understanding. Man, that sounds difficult. What do you plan on doing it, you know, with that? Because when we're doing that, it encourages them to start focusing on gathering, you know, potential solutions rather than wallowing or ruminating on the problems that they're facing. So when we gently ask them how they intend to fix the issue, we are taking control of the conversation. We're redirecting that conversation towards something more productive. And over time, that just creates the boundary of like, hey, if you're being negatively impacted by something, like, I'll hear you, but we're going to find some solutions, right? That way, they're no longer being, if they come to you to vent in their conversations or something, that'll start to drift from it being a vent session into a very productive conversation, right? And so that definitely helps us maintain our mental and emotional well-being. The next approach, don't die in the fight. Okay. And what I mean by that is we need to start to choose our battles, and we need to choose them wisely, right? Instead of allowing unchecked emotions to escalate our maybe conversations or conflicts with others, we need to understand and determine when is it appropriate for us to stand our ground, and when is it okay to just kind of gracefully bow out of the conversation and just kind of retreat. Because in this, don't die in the fight, it's all about preserving our well-being and engaging in productive battles only when it's necessary. Okay, so by reading and responding to your emotions, we're better able to make a conscious choice about, you know, when and what and how to engage with these toxic individuals. So choose your battles ahead of time. What is important to stand your grounds on? And when is it okay to just recognize that, this is going nowhere, you know, and so I'm now going to gracefully bow out of this. The next is stay aware of your emotions. Okay. Maintaining this distance, this emotional distance, it requires a great level of self-awareness. So we need to recognize when toxic people are pushing our buttons. So we need to figure out what are our triggers. And unfortunately, that word is so overused in today's society that it almost has like this negative connotation attached to it. But we really do need to figure out what are my buttons, right? What are the things that tend to get me emotionally compromised? Okay, so when we recognize that, we're then able to take a step back, to kind of regroup, to think things over. Okay. What this will do is buy us some time to respond in a more healthy way, appropriately, you know, where we are not being governed by our emotions, that we still have some of our logics intact, right? So sometimes we might find ourselves in situations where we need to take a moment to regain our composure and choose the best course of action. So when it comes down to it, it really needs to be recognized the low-level emotion, which is the buttons first being pressed, right? That low level, whether that's irritation, frustration, annoyance, you know, you figure it out. But when you recognize it, that's where you start to create some separation, right? From the conversation. Hey, we're going to have to catch up. I need this, you know, at a later time. I need to do this work-related thing. Or, oh, I need to check in on my kids. Or, right, the status of this job. Like, whatever it is, being able to create some distance, okay? That way, you can either revisit it at a later time, or by the time you're around that person again, they most likely will have something different to complain about, right? The next strategy and approach is to rise above irrationality. Toxic behavior is fueled by irrationality. Okay, people who refuse to be sucked into the chaos are the ones that, again, recognize their emotions and they're not dying in the fight, right? They're not getting sucked into that chaos. And this is best accomplished when we try to focus on facts and not so much the emotionally triggered events. And so what this will do is it'll help us kind of detach from the irrationality, because we will then be able to recognize, I'm hoping that through this, we'll be able to recognize that trying to beat toxic people at their own game is just futile. It's pointless. It's not going to work. So instead of engaging in that chaos, choose to respond with more of the facts. And if it's still not being able to direct the conversation in a productive way, as mentioned earlier, then that's when we just gracefully bow out, disengage from the emotional chaos, but really try to rise above the irrationality. The next is establish some boundaries. I know we talked about setting limits at the beginning, but we can, despite popular belief, we can have some control over that chaos that's caused by toxic people. And when I say establish boundaries, what we're trying to do is recognize the patterns in these negative and toxic people's behavior. And that's when we can start to be deliberate in choosing to engage with them, right? So we start to pick up on their patterns and we go, oh, I know where this is going to go. I'm not going to intervene. I'm not going to engage. Or it might be the other way around. Hey, I know based on this pattern, this can turn into a very productive conversation, right? So when we're doing this, we're recognizing these patterns and when we're going to engage with them or not. But establish these clear boundaries to protect your emotional well-being and really kind of maintain control over the interaction that you're having with this person or people. So even if you work closely with someone, say on a work project or on a team or something, and you're like, well, how do I avoid that? Or how do I not engage with them? It's like, well, you don't have to have the same level of one-on-one interactions with them as you do with other team members. So you could consciously and proactively set these boundaries to avoid getting in these difficult conversations with them by making it about the group or, you know, selecting someone else to spend your time with. That will help you set the boundary of like, I'm just not interested in interacting with you. The next is focus on solutions and not problems. So our attention will really kind of determine our emotional state. You know, I've done an episode on that previously, that we feel the way we think, right? So wherever our attention is, it will directly impact our emotional state. So when we are dwelling on problems, that just prolongs the negativity and the stress. Now, there's a difference of recognizing a problem, but dwelling on it, right? So what we need to do is recognize it and start to shift our focus into actionable solutions. Right? Not just being like, oh, this is such a problem. What should I do? And a lot of people will think that, right? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, this is so frustrating. And then they hit the loop. They start the loop all over again where they just start pointing out the problem and maybe even asking, why is this happening to me? Right? So we need to start shifting that focus to actionable solutions, because by doing this, we're redirecting our energy towards handling the toxic individual. So in this, you regain control. And through that, you're going to reduce your own stress. You're going to protect your mental and emotional well-being, you know, rather than, you know, fixating on how troubling the toxic person is, right? We need to shift that focus on how we're going to handle them effectively. So this change in mindset puts us in control of at least ourselves, puts us in control of our mental, emotional well-being, and really minimizes the emotional toll of interacting with toxic or negative individuals. The next strategy is don't forget, but forgive. When we're doing this, we understand the power of forgiveness, right? We definitely need to do that, because if we're not working towards forgiveness, that means we're kind of harboring anger and resentment, and that's going to negatively impact our lives, right? We definitely have to evaluate what anger and resentments do to us, right? And that's why it's so key to work towards forgiveness, because forgiveness is about releasing that negative emotion that's tied to the experience. And why I say is don't forget is because we're not necessarily giving someone another chance to harm us, right? So we do need to remember, because by doing so, you know, that can really protect us, because we're learning from our past. We can protect ourselves by being assertive, you know, as we reflect on that, because if we forget, then we are more likely to put ourselves right back in the same situation. So we do need to develop the ability to forgive, and hopefully the more we do it, the quicker we can forgive, because that way we can let go of all of that and negative emotions and get back into a more positive mindset and emotional state. So the key to this one is just use past experiences as lessons. That way it better helps you set boundaries and protect yourself from future harm. So forgive, but don't forget, right? We definitely want to reach that point where we can let go of it, but we don't want to put ourselves back in the same situation repeatedly to be harmed. Okay? We definitely do not want that. The next is utilize your support system. You know, trying to handle toxic people on our own is very draining and sometimes can be ineffective. So we really want to lean into and utilize our support system. And these are the people that we trust, who cheer us on, who hold us accountable to our goals and aspirations. You know, somebody who provides, you know, a valuable perspective on life, okay? And so don't get this confused with like complaining, right? We're not doing that. We're not turning into a negative, toxic person when we do this. We want to say, hey, I am facing this problem. I have this difficult coworker, or I have this difficult friend. You know, here's the things that I've tried to manage this emotion, or I mean this relationship, but sometimes I get emotionally compromised. Maybe I'm too close to the project, so to speak. Maybe I'm too emotionally invested. What are your thoughts? What are some suggestions, right? Because what we're trying to do is we're not necessarily complaining. More so, we're trying to seek their guidance when we're faced with these challenging relationships. And sometimes doing this, leaning into and seeking their perspective, gives us a fresh kind of outlook that might shed some light on some potential solutions that we may have overlooked or not thought of, due to, again, being so emotionally invested in what's going on. But sometimes just by explaining the situation, seeking that insight, we gain new perspectives. And I see this happen all the time in therapy, which is why I think therapy is so effective with people, is because they are sitting down talking about, here's the things that I'm facing, and like, here's what I've been trying to do. And through that process of explaining, I can see their insight increase. They gain new perspectives, and more importantly, potential strategies for dealing with, in this case, the toxic negative people. So sometimes others really can present a solution that we can't because they're not as emotionally invested in the situation as you are, right? And that's one of the benefits and things that I hear from a lot of the clients. I'm coming in to see you for a third person's perspective, for someone who's not emotionally invested in what's going on, right? And so sometimes it really is super beneficial to lean in and utilize that support system. And finally, practice self-care, right? Man, dealing with toxic people, it is overwhelming. It can take a major toll on us mentally and emotionally. But what we need to do is to prioritize our self-care. When we do that, it helps us maintain our resiliency. Okay? So we can do this by engaging in activities that bring us just a great sense of joy, right? We want to be able to practice this mindfulness technique. So if you find yourself ruminating on the past or fixated on the future, the act of mindfulness is one, catching yourself doing that, and then drawing your attention back to the present. That way, we can fully enjoy what it is we are doing. And what that'll do is help us ensure that the time that we're spending on this is rejuvenating. It's restful, okay? So taking care of yourself physically, emotionally and mentally, right? That allows us to build the strength necessary to face the negativity, to face the toxicity without compromising our mental and emotional well-being, right? So just in a quick recap, set limits. Don't die in the fight. Choose your battles. Stay aware of your emotions, all right? Rise above the irrationality. Establish those boundaries. Focus on solutions, not the problems, right? It's okay to identify the problem, but then we want to shift into solution-focused. Forgive, but don't forget, so we don't put ourselves back in the harmful situation over and over. Lean in, utilize your support system, and practice self-care, right? I really do hope that you are setting aside time daily, every single day, that you can focus on your four aspects of self, which is your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, right? And when I say spiritual, I'm not saying religion. I'm talking about your connection with your higher power, right? Those four aspects of self need attention daily. So we should be doing something that rejuvenates us mentally, emotionally, some form of exercise physically, right, to help us become stronger in that way, and then spiritually. And when we do that, our resiliency towards negativity goes up, because we are becoming stronger. We are becoming healthier. So if this has resonated with you, please share this with your people, right? Share this with your people. Help the show grow, which it continues to do. And so I cannot thank you enough for your support. So much love to all of the listeners. Thank you again for the support. And we will catch you on the next Therapy Thursday.
Thank you for joining us on the Bless Our Mess podcast. We hope this episode has added value in your life and the lives of your loved ones. Don't miss out on future episodes by subscribing, following, and reviewing the show. Remember, when life gets messy, to join us, and together we can bless our mess.